we thank you that you speak to us through the scriptures and by your Holy Spirit. And so speak to us today. May we hear your voice in our hearts. And Lord, may we see you in all your goodness and love. We pray this for our good and your glory. Amen. Well, in 1986, there was a young boy by the name of Saru, and he went with his brother Gudu to a railway station at Khandwa in Madhya Pradesh in India. Saru's dad had left the family a few years earlier and leaving his mum with himself, his older brother and his little sister, and they didn't have enough money to survive. So Saru, who was five, his older brother, used to beg, steal food, all sorts of different things just to help the family survive. Anyway, they went to the train station in Khandwa and took a train to another suburb. But little Saru was so small that he fell asleep. When they got to the station, they got out of the train and his brother left him and said, "I'll be back later, don't go anywhere." He woke up and his brother had disappeared. And so he got back on another train carriage and thought, "My brother will find me." Went to sleep and woke up 1,500 kilometres away in the city of Calcutta. A few weeks later, he was managed to find his way to the police and was declared to be a lost child and was put in an orphanage. In 1987, John and Sue Briley from Hobart adopted Saru and brought him out to live in Australia. 25 years later, Saru decided, "I want to find my mum." And he set about a search. Using Google Maps, he began tracing the railway lines that he'd remembered from Calcutta to try and find the place where he was from. And eventually, in 2011, after many, many months of searching, Saru was reunited with his mother, Kamla. In fact, the family had moved, but Kamla had never given up hope that she would one day again see her son. And so she had stayed in the original family home, waiting for him to come home. And I cannot imagine the joy of that reunion. Turned out that Saru was not actually his name. It was what he thought it was, but it was actually Shuru, which means lion. And you can watch the film of this, which was made in 2016 with Nicole Kidman. Well, today we are continuing our series, Stories of Hope. We're looking at parables that Jesus tells his disciples on the road from Galilee to Jerusalem. And Jesus uses parables to teach us what God is like, about God's kingdom and what it means for us to be part of his kingdom. If you're new or visiting, it's so good that you are here because as we hear these stories, you get to hear what is at the heart of who God is and how we can know him, which is what the Christian faith is all about. Today and next week, we're looking at three of Jesus' most famous parables, the parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and then next week, Bishop Richard will be visiting and preaching on the parable of the lost sons. And in these parables, we get a glimpse of the God who loves us, who searches for us, and who rejoices when he finds us. That story of Saru and his mom, Kamla, just a little picture of the immeasurable love and joy that God has for each one of us. And as we come to know the God who searches for us, we find our lives are transformed. All three parables follow the same basic storyline. Something is lost, and then it's found, and then there's a party to celebrate. So if each story is basically the same, Why did Jesus use three different stories when he could have just used one to make the point? Well, repetition is always helpful to help us, you know, sink in. But also, as we look at the differences between the stories, they take us deeper into what Jesus wants to teach us about God and about ourselves. So, shall we have a look again? Let's have a read again. So, parable number 1 and 2. Jesus told them this parable. Suppose one of you has 100 sheep and loses one of them. Does he not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders and goes home. And then he calls his friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me. I found my lost sheep." I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who don't need to repent. Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Doesn't she light a lamp, sweep the house, search carefully until she finds it? And then when she finds it, she calls her friends and neighbors together and says, "Rejoice with me, I found my lost coin." In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So what's the same about these two parables? Well, they're both about someone losing something and then searching until they find it. In the first story, the thing that's lost is a sheep. The second, it's a coin. But the focus isn't really on the sheep or the coin. It's rather on the person seeking until they find what was lost. The shepherd leaves the 99 sheep and goes after the lost sheep. And he doesn't rest until he's found it. The second story lingers on the search. The woman lights the lamp. She sweeps her house top to bottom, carefully searching every nook and cranny until she finds the lost coin. When the shepherd finds the sheep, he's overjoyed. He gently carries the sheep home. He invites all his neighbors and friends to celebrate because he's found his lost sheep. And in the same way, the woman calls her friends and neighbors to share her joy. "I have found my lost coin." So what do these stories teach us about God? Well, it's very clear that the shepherd and the woman represent God. And the lost sheep and the lost coin represent us. We belong to God, but we're lost. But God's heart is for us. All his affection is set upon us. And so he leaves the 99 and goes in search for us. Like the woman, he lights a lamp to shine in all the dark corners to find us. There is no dark place that you can go where God will not search for you. And he's prepared to take on all the hardship and suffering needed to rescue us from where we find ourselves. And he doesn't rest until he finds us. He is always searching, seeking for us. Jesus' parable of the lost sheep, it sounded, I don't know whether you picked this up, it sounded a lot like what God had promised through the prophet Ezekiel hundreds of years earlier. This is what he said. "This is what the sovereign Lord says. I myself will search for my sheep and look for them and look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he's with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places that they're scattered. I will tend them in good pasture. I myself will tend my sheep and have them lie down," declares the sovereign Lord. "I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. I will shepherd my flock with justice. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? And in John's gospel, Jesus says that he himself is the good shepherd. And later in Luke, Jesus says that he came to seek and to save the lost. So God's promise through the prophet Ezekiel hundreds of years earlier has now come true. In Jesus, God has come to shepherd his people, to search for his lost sheep, and to bring them home. But who are the lost sheep that the good shepherd Jesus is prepared to search for until he finds them? Well, the answer comes when we look at the context of this parable. So have a look with me in verse 1. Now the tax collectors and sinners were all gathering around Jesus to hear him. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." Jesus tells these three stories in response to the condescending complaints of the Pharisees and teachers of the law about who he's hanging out with. So who were the tax collectors and sinners that the Pharisees had in mind? Well, tax collectors were Jews who worked with the occupying Roman forces to collect taxes for them. They were hated for collaborating with the national enemy and using Roman muscle to line their own pockets by fleecing their compatriots. Sinners were those who were known for disobeying God's law and so were seen to have forfeited their relationship with God. They were moral and religious failures. In our own polarized society, it seems so often that the left is concerned with issues of social and economic justice, and they despise those who fail in this regard. Whereas the right seems to be more concerned with issues of personal morality and religion and they lambast those who transgress these norms. And it's so interesting to me that here, the Pharisees and teachers of the law cannot believe that Jesus would eat with the greedy capitalist tax collectors and the immoral sinners. And yet those despised by both the left and the right are drawn to Jesus. Earlier in Luke's gospel, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." And the problem for the Pharisees and teachers of the law was that they believed that they were righteous and that God was for them. And if Jesus were from God, he was a prophet, he would want to hang out with them. What on earth is he doing partying with these immoral, bigoted, greedy people? Well, Jesus tells these stories to show God's heart. He doesn't deny that the people coming to him have done things wrong. Far from it. They are sick and need a doctor. They are sinners who absolutely do need to repent. They are lost people who he has come to find. If you were with us last week, you saw what repentance looks like. It means a turning around, turning from self and turning back to God. Jesus started his public ministry by saying, "The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news." Repentance is always accompanied by belief, trusting that the good news is true. And what is that good news? What is that the good shepherd has come to search for his lost sheep? So who are the lost sheep? Well, it's us. You might feel like you have stuffed up. You've done things that you're ashamed of. You've failed the left's moral compass. Or you failed the right's moral compass. Or you've just failed in a way that you are too ashamed to tell anyone about. And you're sick because of it. Brilliant! Jesus says he has come for people just like you, who know they're sick and who need a doctor. Maybe you're like a sheep who's wandered off on your own way and you've realized that you've become lost and alone and the world is a scary place. Brilliant! Jesus is the good shepherd. And he has been searching for you. Maybe you're like the lost coin. You feel like you're a bit hidden, discarded, neglected, forgotten, unloved. Brilliant! God has not forgotten you. He is turning the house upside down to find you. One commentator suggests that the woman's coins would have been hung on a headdress as part of a dowry. If that's true, you can kind of translate that picture to today, and the coin would have been like a wedding ring or a diamond engagement ring. And for any of those of us who are married, you know if you lose that, you are going to tear your house apart until you find that, because it's so precious to you. And Jesus says, in the same way, and even more so, you are precious to God. Next week, we'll hear about Jesus' third parable, the parable of the two lost sons. And in that parable, the figure who represents God is the Father, who is waiting for his lost son to come home. On Tuesday this week, it was the 1700th anniversary of the Council of Nicaea, where the creed, which we often say in church, was hammered out, summarizing the doctrine of the Trinity, who God is, that the one true God who made heaven and earth has come to us in the person of his Son, the Lord Jesus, and is now with us by the Holy Spirit. He's one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And I want to do something a little bit interesting and take a theological reading of these three parables. If we do that, we see God the Son who came to seek and to save the lost as the Good Shepherd. We see God the Father who is waiting with open arms, longing to welcome his lost sons and daughters home. And that leaves the middle parable, the woman who lights the lamp and searches the house. On this reading, we could see her as representing the Holy Spirit. The Spirit shines the light of God's truth into our hearts. The Spirit frees those who are trapped in darkness. The Spirit sweeps our minds clean of the lies that make us doubt that God loves us and so run away from him. And the Spirit brings us to repentance, to turn back to God, turning our hearts so that we respond to God with thankfulness and trust. And you know what? The instruments the Spirit uses to do his work are his people, the church. He gives us gifts so that we can join in the mission of the Son, the Good Shepherd, to seek and to save the lost. So in these parables, Jesus shows us who God is, and he is the God who loves us. He's the God who seeks his lost children to bring them home. He is also God, the Holy Trinity, the waiting Father, arms outstretched, longing to welcome us home. And the two hands of the Father, the Son, the Good Shepherd, who has come to seek and to save the lost, and the Holy Spirit, the light searching our hearts to bring us home. But there's one final thing that we learn about God in these two parables. They both finish with a celebration. Rejoice with me. I have found my lost sheep. There'll be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who don't need to repent. Did you notice who it is who rejoices in heaven? I'd always thought that it was the angels who are rejoicing. But have a look with me again at verse 10. In the same way, I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Who is the one who's rejoicing in the angels' presence? It's the good shepherd. It's the woman. It is God himself. Yes, the angels are there, but only as guests who are invited to share the joy of the Father. Do you realize that this is how God feels about you? He loves you with all his heart. And when you come home to him, well, he dances a jig with glee. He calls all the angels of heaven. He calls us as the church to join in that dance of joy and celebrate. My son, my daughter, who was lost, has now been found. And you know that it is this joy, this longing for the joy of welcoming you home, that so moved God to seek you in the first place. Here's what God says in Hebrews 12. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you'll not grow weary and lose heart. It's for this joy, the joy of welcoming you home, that the Good Shepherd came and endured even the cross to bring you home. So whoever you are, whatever you have done, whatever is going on in your life, God loves you. He has sent his son, the Good Shepherd, to seek you and to save you. His Holy Spirit has been searching for you. And maybe you've sensed that in your life. Maybe you've heard his voice calling you. Will you admit that you need God's help? You can say sorry for the bad stuff you've done in your life. Turn to Jesus and ask for his forgiveness. Ask for him to come into your life. And know that when you do, God himself is rejoicing before all the angels in heaven, even now, today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you are the God who so loves us, that you sent your Son to search for us, to save us. We thank you that you pour out your Holy Spirit, gently calling us to come home, shining your light into the dark corners of our lives. Please, we pray, help us to turn to you, to trust Jesus for forgiveness, to follow him as our King. And we thank you for the wonderful picture of your joy when we come home to you. For us as your people in this place, help us to join in that celebration as we welcome home those who've been lost and are now found. we ask this for your name's sake.